brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Welcome to the mountaintop referred to in the lecture. Yesterday, most Christians in America celebrated the Feast of the Transfiguration. You know the event. Yes, we gather on a mount today, for we know that our glorified Lord is truly present here in his word. And on Wednesday, when we gather for the Holy Sacrament, we know that we shall receive the very body together with the bread and drink his very blood together with the wine. The glorified Christ, the transfigured Jesus, who sits now on the throne, is now also here to commune with us too. Does the prospect fill our souls and hearts with fear and trembling? It should. Read that the disciples were filled with awe and were afraid. Mountaintop experience may fill us certainly with dread. And if we are spiritually alert, we're going to be stepping into the presence of the Holy God only with misgivings. Certainly in the light of his purity, our sinfulness shows up in darkest colors. Sinners are bound to be uncomfortable in the presence of God's holiness. Furthermore, Moses is here, the stern lawgiver, and we become conscious of countless violations of God's holy law. Elijah is here, that great reformer who insisted on undivided loyalty to God, wholehearted service to the Lord. He makes us so conscious of our much half-heartedness when our service has been divided between the world and God, between ourself and our Lord. Sure, our impulse is even to avoid the mountaintop. We have no place, really, in the company of those who see the glory of God and are in his presence. But listen to the conversation that takes place. St. Luke tells us that Moses and Elijah talked with our Lord of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Talked of how the Lord Jesus was to satisfy all the demands of the law and suffer all the punishment for man's sins by his suffering and his death. They spoke of how man's half-hearted service of God was to be totally canceled by Christ's wholehearted devotion to his Father's will. On Wednesday, as the Holy Christ takes us on the Holy Mountain in the sacrament, the conversation will be no less surprising. Christ speaks to us, "My body was given into death for you. My blood was shed for the remission of your sins. I gave my body and shed my blood to free you from all the guilt and punishment of sin." Yes, "I here give myself with all I am and have. I become part of you, and you become part of me. I in you, and you in me. We become partners and share everything. All I did is yours. Even my glory is yours. There is nothing to prevent you from mingling with the angels and all the company of heaven, including Moses and Elijah, in lauding and magnifying his glorious name." Yes, now our mountaintop resounds with hymns of praise. Praise for the Lamb that died and lives forevermore. We
join the chorus of angels and saints in heaven.
We're not with them as yet, but only the narrow stream of death.
One moment of dying separates us. But for a brief time, we enjoy a foretaste of what awaits us. Here is our Lord in his beauty, communing with his beloved. We're so far above the sordid world, and we know ourselves so close to the land of our hope that we are even imagining that we hear the heavenly choirs as we lift up our hearts above this earth and sing, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." Peter said, as he was quoted in the hymn, "Lord, it is good that we are here." He proposed that they remain forever on the mountain, far removed from the labors and sorrows of earth, in happy isolation, peaceful enjoyment. But our Lord said no. There was work to be done down below. There was a world to be saved. Soon the glory vanished, and the Master stood again in the form of the servant, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He led them down from the mountaintop. When they descended, they were immediately engulfed again by the sordid affairs of this world. The first sight that they greeted them, remember, was the poor boy whom the devil had taken bodily possession. From the sublimity of the mountaintop to the deepest depths of human degradation, we share St. Peter's desire to remain forever within sight of the glorious land beyond, don't we? Why must our mountaintop experiences be so fleeting? We could live our lives, only live our lives in the ecstasy of the moment, conscious always of Christ's nearness and presence and within touch of his glory. But down we must. Remember, the disciples who had seen Christ's glory were never quite the same again. Even though they were led in the darkest shadows of Gethsemane and saw Christ also in his deepest humiliation. But what they had received on the mountaintop kept their faith steady in the storm of trouble. So our experience also on the Holy Mountain need not be without lasting effect in our personal lives. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Jesus only, in our hateful and hopeless workaday world. We leave the mountain with the assurance of his abiding presence with his beloved. He does not stay behind, but goes with us. Consciousness that we go out from here in the company of the world-ruling, death-conquering Christ certainly ought to give us a new spring to our step and a joyous lilt to our speech. We have nothing to fear. We walk through life at the hand of our omnipotent brother and friend. We have been with Christ in the Holy Mount and have seen his glory. We too have had a glimpse of the goodly land that is our home. We have had a foretaste of heaven's bliss. We have heard the songs of the elect around Christ's throne and have joined in the hallelujahs of the heavenly choir. We come down from the mount joyously conscious that we are on our way home. The way leads down the mountain through a dark world, into valleys of pain and sorrow, yes, into the very shadow of death and night. but ahead. We see the Easter dawn and the glorious lights of home. Oh, may God always keep this vision in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.